Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, where we bring you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. And our government's been telling us a lot of whoppers lately. They've implied very strongly that Saddam Hussein had something to do with the attacks on September 11th that killed 3,000 Americans. They've told us there's no doubt that Saddam Hussein has chemical, biological, nuclear weapons, and a lot of people are believing it. We have about half the country that plans to vote for George Bush. Hopefully more than half will decide that John Kerry's the better man, but we don't know yet for at least 3 weeks. And more than half believe that Saddam Hussein had something to do with September 11th, that the war in Iraq was indeed largely necessary because of the killing by Osama bin Laden of 3,000 Americans on September 11th. Now, what makes people believe this kind of nonsense? Well, in two words, Fox News. Fox News, created by Australian billionaire Rupert Murdoch to try to influence people's minds, has had an astounding success. Fox News claims to be fair and balanced. They claim to be giving you both sides of the story, but many people believe it is tilted toward the right wing. And my guest today, Robert Greenwald, is the producer and the director of a movie, a documentary called Outfoxed, where he goes in painstaking detail through all of the reasons why he believes Fox News is biased. And I've seen the documentary. I got to tell you, it's a powerful thing. If you want to call in, if you want to contribute to the discussion, here's your chance to talk with a noted filmmaker. All you have to do is dial in toll-free 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can do as so many of you have and contribute to the blog by writing in to www.radioinsidescoop.com and putting in your comments. We'll be reading some of your comments throughout the broadcast. But first, let me welcome to my program Robert Greenwald. Mr. Greenwald, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Tell me, how did you get started on really going after Fox News? Where did this idea come from?
Well, it really happened when I was finishing my other documentary, Uncovered, about the war in Iraq. And there's a whole section in the new version of Uncovered in which we really go into the media's role in the build-up to war. And many of the journalists and editors and reporters all kept talking to me over and over again about how Fox News was affecting their organization. Not that it took away their own responsibility, but what a negative effect it was having. So I started poking around and starting watching Fox News, and was pretty surprised, to put it in polite terms, about what I saw, what they were doing, and how partisan they were. And then I was pretty shocked to realize no one had really nobody had done a film and kind of put this the harsh spotlight of truth on them. They'd been getting away with this for too long.
Well, now tell me, I've seen your documentary, and let me just say right off the bat that it's a fantastic piece of work. Whatever your views are, you really owe it to yourself to see this documentary because, Robert Greenwald raises some questions that are pretty hard to dispute. He shows memos, background, he shows clips, but not just clips. He shows examples of where the brass, if you will, at Fox News, from Rupert Murdoch on down, is directing news organizations how to spin a story. And I guess I'd like to start, Robert Greenwald, by asking you to give us some of those examples where the top brass at Fox News is actually directing the channel lower down in how to construct a story.
Well, those memos were pretty shocking to me. Unfortunately, I got sources who work at Fox News who felt the responsibility to turn them over to me. By the way, I should say that people can go to our website, outfoxed.org, where they can purchase the film, and that we also on the website or in various websites, they have posted a bunch of these memos so you can read them yourself. But it's everything from the language about what they should call them sharpshooters, not snipers, the U.S., forces at different times, to attitudes about the judges and how the whole controversy about judges and pro-life judges should be something that Fox News should stay focused on, to the fact that there should be no mourning casualties. I mean, they state it slightly differently, but essentially saying, you know, this is a war and we don't want the sort of bleeding heart approach. It's quite a varied palette, if you will, but it all adds up to the underlying factor, which doesn't exist in legitimate news organizations, that they are instructed as to how to interpret the news. Now, we may like CNN or the New York Times and LA Times on any given day. We may hate them on another day. But nobody, no other organization, no other so-called news organization gets consistent political guidance on how to interpret the news.
Well, let's deal with, let's say, your last point, mourning casualties. Are you saying that there were reporters at Fox News that wanted to say, oh, there were five Americans killed today, and here's an interview with one of their family members, or here's a story about this soldier and the good he did, and now he's gone, that they were not allowed to do those kinds of stories?
Well, I can't specifically cite that incident, and again, I want to not do what Fox does, which just give opinion. I only want to do it when I can give you fact and specifics.
Okay.
But you work at an organization, and they essentially are telling you that here's your guidelines. Here's how we want you to cover the news. So what you tend to do, normal human beings, you don't tend to go out and find something that's going to sort of go right in their face and challenge what they're telling you to do and how to do it and how to interpret it. Virtually everybody I spoke to at Fox News, person after person, man, woman, editor, writer, producer, whatever their title was, they all knew that it had a conservative Republican agenda and that they scored points if they attacked liberals, Democrats, Jesse Jackson, gay marriage, and they would never think to do anything other than that, or they would think to do it, but they wouldn't, that was not basically pro-Bush 24/7.
Now, Fox News has this tagline, fair and balanced. They certainly proclaim quite widely that they are fair and balanced in a way that supposedly the rest of the media isn't. They have people like Hannity, Sean Hannity on the right, Alan Combs on the left. What makes them not fair and balanced?
Well, I used four criteria to measure Fox News, because again, I didn't want to be in the what they do, which is just screaming louder and saying, here's my opinion. Number one, we commissioned a study from the Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and they watched the Brit Hume show for 25 weeks, and they monitored the guests. Now, this is their primary news show. Of the guests, 80% Republican, 20% Democrat. Objective criteria. Number two, we had the memos. No other news organization has memos instructing the people how to respond politically. Number three, I have eight or nine former Fox News employees. Now, they don't complain about how much they were paid, and they don't complain about working conditions. What they talk about very specifically is that they were given political instruction. And number four, we have the clips themselves. Well, you put all those four things together, and it's a very convincing objective case for Fox News being politically biased in favor of the Bush agenda over and over again. And by the way, I don't even mind that. What I object to is what you just cited. They calling themselves fair and balanced and calling themselves a news organization. They're really neither.
So tell me, if you will, some examples of where people are trying to say one story and Fox News is telling them to say something else.
Excuse me. Well, again, remember, most of it is what we don't see. In other words, it's the stories that they don't take that never either get brought up in the staff meetings or get shot down. One person told me the story that when Bush was being inaugurated, you know, there was significant demonstrations around that time, thousands of people. And they brought it up and said, well, let's do a story about this. And the response was, well, that's not fair and balanced, which means code for it's not supportive of the Bush administration. There's a sequence in the movie, quite an effective one, where one of the anchors talks about being sent to Ronald Reagan's birthday celebration at the Ronald Reagan Library, and there was virtually nobody around. And he was shooting it, and he was getting irate phone calls from Moody saying, you know, this isn't right, you don't show enough people there. He had to kind of go out in the parking lot and find some young kids who were arriving in buses to try to tone it more in the Fox News style. There's a reporter who talks about the fact that they were constantly told it was fair game to go after Jesse Jackson in any conceivable manner that you wanted to. And certainly during the Clinton era, we saw an extraordinary shift from everything anti-Clinton to an immediate flip to everything pro-Bush. That's not a news organization. That's an opinion organization.
I want to go to a commercial break. But when I come back, I want to read some of the things that people have already written on the blog and let you respond to some of them. And if you want to call in, the number is toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We'll be right back with Robert Greenwald, the director-producer of OutFox, right after these messages.
If you think that the Bushites had no post-war plan for what they would do in Iraq after our military ousted Saddam, think again. You can see their plan in the extremist economic policies that were quietly and autocratically imposed on the Iraqi people during the reign of L. Paul Bremer III, who was our occupying czar there. While America's media establishment has been focused on the raging war by Iraqi insurgents and by the Bushites' attempt to enthrone a puppet government there, the neocon laissez-faire zealots in the administration have been gleefully using this ravaged country as their own ideological playground. For years, these Ayn Randian theorists have longed to create their utopia of a corporate state, and they've used the IMF, World Bank, WTO, and other monkey wrenches to try to implement their theories in Latin America and elsewhere. But they've never had an entire economy at their disposal until they grabbed Iraq. While Baghdad was burning, Bremer arrived. Rather than putting out the fires, he used them as a distraction to issue decrees that instantly opened up Iraq to a total corporate takeover. For example, his decrees open up all of that nation's public assets to foreign corporate ownership, and they allow 100% of the country's industries, from banking to food, to be owned by foreigners. Also, Bremer ruled that 100% of the profits that foreign investors make in Iraq can now be hauled out of the country. There's no requirement that any of these profits be reinvested there, nor that the investors have to pay even a dime in taxes on the profits they haul away. This isn't liberation, as the Bushites call their Iraqi adventure. It's legalized looting and is fueling the continuing anger and armed resistance by the Iraqi people, who are determined not to have their nation looted. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get this full story, see Naomi Klein's explosive article in Harper's Magazine. You can read it at harpers.org.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Hello from the road, folks. You know, the only thing better than a twofer is a threefer. That's why this fall I'm staying at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels. See, I get triple Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards credit every time, so I earn flights three times faster. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com. We'll see you there.
Offer good for qualifying stays in the U.S. before November 30th, 2004. For details, visit choicehotels.com. Triple credit means 1.5 credits instead of the standard 0.5.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking with Robert Greenwald. He's the producer, director of the movie Outfoxed. He's explored the ways in which Fox News is giving orders, really, to the people down there below and insisting that they carry a right-wing agenda. Before we left, he just gave an example of how on Ronald Reagan's birthday, they insisted that a reporter cover it as if it were news to go down to the the Reagan Library there, Mr. Greenwald? And try to find out, who was there, who was celebrating Ronald Reagan, and they found really no one, just a group of school children, and they had to somehow make that into news. I do want to read from some of the comments on my blog, and again, you're always welcome to write in. Go to www.radioinsidescoop.com, comment on the blog, say whatever you wish, or you can call in at 877-57-SCOOP. And this is from James. James Avery is his name. He writes, I bought Outfoxed and I've actually shown it to about a dozen different people. Only bought one copy, though. Sorry, Robert. Oops, James, you're giving yourself away. He writes, I think it is a good documentary, but one thing that bothers me is the editing. You can tell that a lot of what people are saying is being taken in small snippets, heavily edited. That concerns me from the standpoint of that with editing, what people are saying can definitely be manipulated. I noticed the same style in The Truth About the Iraq War movie. How do you answer James's charge that, well, you make some good points, Robert, but you're kind of doing the same thing that Fox does?
Well, first of all, I tell him not to worry about only buying one copy. I mean, I say it over and over again.
Okay.
Buy one copy and make up as many as you want. The goal is to get it out there. The goal is not profit-making.
That makes you different from 99% of movie makers, so I congratulate you for that.
Thank you. We've also taken the interviews, by the way, from Outfox and also the interviews from Out Uncovered and put them up on the Creative Commons site so people can check the full versions and also make their own movies from them.
Oh, so in other words, everything that you've edited, they
can... Not everything, the interviews, because I don't own the Fox News footage. So
I see.
Put that up there. But all the interviews that I did on both Uncovered and Outfoxed are put up on Creative Commons so people can look at them and, most importantly, make their own film.
Well, that's actually quite... Now, where can they find that? You say Creative Commons.
Yeah, if you go to outfoxed.org, our website, they can link you to all these things.
Okay, well, I think that's a really solid response to James saying, hey, look, if you question what I say, you can check and see the full copy there. I think that's a good response.
Yeah, also I would say that... you don't want to make a movie that's 10 hours long and have hours and hours of speeches. And if you look at the clips, yes, they're shortened, but they're never taken where somebody is meant and manipulated to say something they didn't say. I mean, it's very hard to do that. You'd have to put words in their mouth. If somebody says Kerry is French, if somebody says the Democrats did this, that's not made up. Oh, of course it's shortened, but you don't want to go on and on, because then it wouldn't be a film. Then it would just be hours of their footage.
I think it's a good point. James also wants to know if, he said in the film you found six times that O'Reilly used the word shut up. Is this an official count from the transcripts, or is this just six times you found and then you quit looking?
That's just six times we found. O'Reilly, in his infinite ill wisdom, went on Letterman last night, last week, Letterman asked him about Outfox. O'Reilly says, well, they edited it so it seems like I said it 42 times. Well, you know, anybody can sit down and see that we did not do that and that we used the number of times. I think Salon did a count, and they came up with quite a few more. This was what we found. Remember, we also have to have the footage, so it's where we're able to get the footage to show it.
Tell me, why do you think that we have... I mean, Fox News. Why does it exist? Would you agree that CNN, and I have my own complaints about CNN from time to time, or CBS, the New York Times, or any of them, at least tries to show both sides. In fact, I would argue, in fact, they go overboard and don't call enough of lies that they see on both sides because they're trying to cover both sides. Why is it that we have a Fox News organization that, pretending to be fair and balanced, is actually promoting a right-wing agenda? What allows this to occur?
Well, I think really what Fox News is, it's talk radio, only it calls itself a news organization.
But I don't claim to be fair and balanced. My listeners know my bias from the outset.
Yeah, exactly. And we know Air America, we know Pacifica, and that's what Fox News should say. They're just the same.
Let me go to one of my callers. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine and Robert Greenwald.
This is Ed from New York, Mark. I noticed that in today's news that Sinclair Broadcasting is requiring all of its stations to air a very anti-Kerry program during the week before the election.
That's a good point. It's true.
I'd like to ask your guest, is that something that can be sent to the FCC or something of that nature so that we can get some... equal time for the Democrats?
Well, Mr. Greenwald, let me split that into two questions. One, let me ask you what you know about Sinclair Broadcasting, and then two, I want to ask you what can legally, if anything, be done about it.
Well, Sinclair Broadcasting is a worse version of Fox News, believe it or not. The management of Sinclair Broadcasting has given significant funds to the Bush administration and their reelection campaign. They're openly and completely partisan in supporting that administration. And it's it's really very unfortunate that they have such, that Sinclair controls so many stations throughout the country and that they're willing to abuse that control. People are going to the FCC to see if this can be stopped, but also I encourage all of your listeners and all of your bloggers, call Sinclair, pick up the phone, call any advertisers on Sinclair, tell them that this is an abuse of the broadcast system, that you're not going to support them unless they pull their advertising. It's really surprising what phone calls and letters from individuals could do. They really could make a difference. I've seen it time and time again.
It's a good point. You know, there used to be something called the fair use, help me out here.
Equal.
Not the equal time doctrine, not right. The fair use doctrine. Excuse me. The equal time doctrine back until 1987 when Ronald Reagan ended it. And a lot of people think it still exists, where if you show entirely one side, you've got to show the other side. And it doesn't exist. It hasn't existed since 1987. And so you can have news organizations like Sinclair, like Rupert Murdoch, buy up a number of stations and quite blatantly put forward their propaganda as news. And it's very interesting. I always wondered whether Kerry might want to sue Sinclair for libel for this. And yet even then it would be bad because it would probably draw more attention to the show. So I don't really know if there's an easy answer.
Yeah, well, again, I think pressure on the top executives and the sponsors can be the most effective way, rather than the Kerry campaign or anybody else doing it. But you know, outraged individuals around the country.
Anything else, Ed?
The only question that I suggest, and the only thought that I had was that if Sinclair owns ABC and CBS and NBC stations across the country, it's going to look like a network broadcast, and that's
right.
A real problem.
That's another good point, Ed.
Yes.
I mean, that's exactly right. People turn on their local Channel 5 or Channel 2, whatever it is, and they think it's CBS or ABC, and actually it's Sinclair putting their propaganda in there. And I guarantee you it won't be with any kind of disclaimer. And so it's a real problem. And why aren't by the way, thank you very much for your call, Ed. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP. Mr. Greenwald, why aren't there people on the left or on the Democrats doing the same thing that Rupert Murdoch and Sinclair Broadcasting is doing, buying up a bunch of TV stations and just giving, Air America, if you will, a left-side propaganda?
Well, we don't have the money they have,
okay.
Number one, but we have more people on our side, and I think we have more inventive ways, whether it's the Internet or documentaries or books. And we also have the ability to protest and object strongly to this. And again, that's what I keep saying to folks. It's really important if you're upset, if you're troubled by something, to not just accept it. Go out and express your opinion.
Let me read a comment from Fred in New York City. He writes, "It seems almost comical to have to point out that Fox lies and distorts. Do people actually buy them? It's a scary thought." My experience, Fred, is there are people, yes, half the country perhaps, that actually believes Fox is fair and balanced. And I don't know, how do you get through, Robert Greenwald, how do you get through to a viewer who may be entirely pro-Bush, and that's their choice, they're an American, they have the right to their point of view, but to let them see that Fox really isn't telling them the truth? I mean, how do you get someone to even watch your movie who is saying, I support Bush, I support Fox, and I don't even want to hear someone question them?
Well, I think that the people who support and watch Fox News, remember, their real hardcore listeners are about 2 million. In a country of 280 million, that's not really significant. And I'm not really focused on them. The film is designed to reach the other 275 million Americans and the other news stations and cable stations. And that's really where the important work can be done, for people to see and understand and get a sense just how distorted and just how partisan and just how biased this so-called network is.
Well, Fred writes that not only is it scary what Fox is doing, but beyond their abuse of broadcasting is the effect they have on the rest of the news. CNN is blatantly coerced by corporate concerns to paint a pro-right-wing view. The fact that they're not as biased as Fox gives them credibility they don't deserve. Do you agree with Fred that because of Fox News, they're pushing the more mainstream news organizations, CNN, MSNBC, the networks, to a more right-wing view?
Absolutely. It's a very important and critical point.
Give me some examples of how they do this.
Well, you have Christine Amanpour in the film who says that her organization was intimidated by the Fox News pseudo-patriots during the build-up to war. And I've heard, and we have the head of MSNBC on the air saying, I want my station to be just like Fox. And we have Jeff Cohen talking about working at MSNBC and being told in a staff meeting, for every liberal you had to have three conservatives on. I mean, it's pretty specific, and that's why, again, if you go to outfox.org, you can sign up and get involved with one of the 8 or 10 organizations working for media reform, so that we change this and so we get the kind of media we should have.
Can you, one example I know, and it's sort of a reverse example, is CBS, after getting in trouble with the forged documents that it turns out were telling the truth, but the documents were forged about Bush being absent without leave from the military. In fact, even the secretary who typed up the memos said they were true, although those particular memos were not accurate, that CBS has actually shelved a quite critical piece they were going to play on 60 Minutes regarding the Iraq War, and they're shelving it until after the election. Now, here you have Sinclair specifically broadcasting something that we know to be untrue regarding Kerry and his past in Vietnam, and they're broadcasting it right before the election, and CBS actually shelving a piece that we know to be true regarding Bush in Iraq because of fear. I mean, it seems to me that it's all going in one direction.
Exactly, but that's where our job is. I mean, we can change it going in one direction. It's not an accident that going in one direction. It's going in one direction because conservatives and the right have been organized, because they've put time into it, they've put effort into it, and we can tip the scales back to the center or in our direction if we're prepared to put in time, energy, and resources.
Now, Republicans claim, and I've heard Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and all of them say it numerous times until I can't stand anymore, and I don't watch Fox News that much, but they say there's a liberal media, there's a liberal bias in the media, reporters are vote primarily for Democrats. How would you answer such a charge?
Well, it's nonsense. They know it's nonsense. Eric Altman wrote the definitive book, What Liberal Media, and you just read any chapter in the book, and it's very clear that it's not the case. There are objective criteria that show that. But conservatives get a lot of mileage out of A, playing victim, and B, complaining about the media. So no matter what, you know, they've got the presidency, they got the House, they got the Senate, they're getting the justices, they have radio, and they have Fox News, and they're still being victims. It's a kind of strange dynamic, but they're not going to let go of it. Our job is just to ignore its silliness and go to work terms of getting a balanced media.
We have to go to another commercial break. Let me give out the phone number again. It's toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-577-2667. Call in. Here's your chance to talk with someone who's really trying to make a difference, and his movie does an amazing thing. If you haven't seen Outfox, it's all over in movie theaters throughout the country. You can get DVDs. You can borrow from a friend. According to Robert Greenwald, it's okay. Just go watch the movie. Take your undecided or leaning Bush Fox News watching friend and family, sit them down, force them to watch this film. It's something to see. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
The Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Over 1,000 workers are on strike at 4 downtown San Francisco hotels. Represented by Unite Here, Local 2, the hospitality employees vow to stay out for 2 weeks. John Wilhelm, president of the hospitality division, says workers are striking to protect their health and pension benefits, reduce workloads, and for higher pay.
Most important issues being fought about in these cities is the rapid increase in health care costs. In San Francisco, the employers have proposed that by the end of a proposed 5-year contract, San Francisco hotel workers who pay virtually nothing for their health care now would pay $273 per person per month out of pocket, which is totally unaffordable in the wage brackets that exist in our industry. If we're going to have effective bargaining in each of the hotel markets, we've got to figure out how to have a national dialogue on the issues that are the most important.
Despite fierce management resistance, Unite Here wants a 2-year deal to line up contract negotiations with the bulk of the other major union hotels in the U.S., including New York, Chicago, Toronto, Honolulu, and Boston.
A minimum wage referendum placed on the ballot in Florida could change the outcome of the November 2nd presidential election. the measure asks voters to support an increase in the state minimum wage from $5.15 to $6.15 an hour this year, with annual increases connected to inflation. The initiative could bring out voters who normally would not vote because they are turned off by the candidates. Elise Gowdy Wright, director of South Florida Jobs with Justice, organized a coalition of civil rights groups, religious congregations, and labor unions to collect nearly 1 million signatures over a 10-month period.
I think for a lot of folks that are behind this effort, the hope is that because this is such a popular issue and there's so many people who are supportive of it, that it will help with voter turnout.
Gowdy Wright believes increasing the minimum wage will have a positive ripple effect for many Florida workers.
Those folks who make minimum wage will be directly impacted, but those folks who might make slightly higher than minimum wage, many of those employers will feel inclined to raise their wages as well.
The restaurant industry and the Florida Chamber of Commerce are opposing the ballot initiative. George W. Bush opposes raising the national minimum wage from its 1997 level, while John Kerry has expressed support for an increase. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Black men with the same skills as white men are only half as likely to attain management positions. That's according to a new study by Baruch College's School of Public Affairs. Black women, the study says, are only a third as likely to obtain those same management positions. The study finds that the glass ceiling phenomenon, usually associated primarily with women trying to obtain equality in the workplace, has now begun to apply to minorities.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about Fox News and why it is the way it is and what can be done about it. My guest is Robert Greenwald. He is the director and producer of the documentary Outfoxed. And if you haven't seen it, you really should. It goes into detail into how Rupert Murdoch is busy directing one of the main channels here in the United States. I was going to say one of the largest media organizations worldwide. It's not just Fox News. To have a conservative right-wing agenda. Mr. Greenwald, tell me about Rupert Murdoch. Who is he and what else does he own? It's not just Fox News, is it?
No, unfortunately, in this era of media consolidation, he owns 20th Century Fox Studios, he owns book publishing companies, he owns hundreds of newspapers around the world, he owns billboards, and he owns the satellite dish that's up in the air. So he's got a variety of ways to influence us in our opinions and what we see and how we see it. And one of the things that the film talks about is how the larger problem is media consolidation. It's not just a Fox News problem. It's a problem that all of us face in a world where the media and what we get and our access to it is controlled by a few gatekeepers. You turn on your radio, it's the same company that sends you your cable television, that prints your newspapers, that controls what you see in the movie theaters. You know, it's a dangerous situation, frankly, and one that we all need to be very aware of and work to change.
And we also have, of course, Michael Powell, who's the son of Colin Powell. I don't think he got his position as chairman of the Federal Communications Commission based solely on merit. But he's going out there defending media consolidation and actually working to improve it, actually working to cut back on regulations that would restrict one media, two media from having a monopoly on all the rest. And I want to give an example. Let me also give out the phone number again. It's toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. I want to give an example from my own life of the pernicious effect of Fox News, because I think it shows how even myself, and again, my bias is clear. My listeners know that, you know, I'm a Democrat. I used to work for the Democrats in Congress on the Judiciary Committee, Homeland Security Committee. My bias is clear. But I want to give you an example of how Fox News affected even me. Fox News heard me on Air America. I've done some stints there as a guest. And they called me up. This was right after Ronald Reagan had died and Bill Clinton was promoting his new book, My Life. And they asked me if I wanted to come on air and talk about Bill Clinton. I said, sure, I'd love to. I said, that's an easy challenge, defending Bill Clinton, who I think is the best president in my lifetime. And so the producer said, great, you know, we heard you on Air America, you've done really good things. And I said, listen, I'd like to help you make your program more fair and balanced. And they asked me what I would say about Bill Clinton. So I went on giving statistics, talking about jobs, talking about the huge surplus under Bill Clinton, giving them statistics that they were surprised by, which is that Bill Clinton was more popular than Ronald Reagan. A lot of people don't know that. When they left office, Bill Clinton's popular, Ronald Reagan was popular, but Bill Clinton was actually even more popular. And I went about 10 minutes giving all these wonderful things Bill Clinton had done. At which point they responded, well, thank you very much. We'll send a car around at 5 o'clock. But by the way, if we do happen to get someone from the Clinton administration, we're going to bump you. And then about a quarter to 5, they give me a call. Oh, I'm sorry. We found someone else. You're going to be bumped. But you'll be on our list, and we'll call you for another time. That was back in July, by the way. They haven't called me since. I did watch the program. It was John Gibson's program, someone who really I wasn't that familiar with, but he's a right-wing host just like the others, just like Hannity and the others. And I watched the program, and the person they had on the air was not from the Clinton administration. It wasn't Madeleine Albright. In fact, it was someone, and the tagline was worked in the Clinton-Gore campaign. So it wasn't even a chairman, anything. I thought, worked in the Clinton-Gore campaign? You know, that's probably a million people. I worked in the Clinton-Gore campaign as a volunteer. It could be anyone. And the person went on, and with all due respect to my fellow liberal, and I'm sure that that person was a liberal, they gave very few facts, no statistics that I had given, and basically said, well, you know, Clinton was a good guy and he felt your pain, which is true, but not the most persuasive reason to support Bill Clinton. And afterward, I told the story to my producer, and he told me, well, Mark, you're the dumbest smart guy I've ever known. How could you give Fox News such a persuasive defense of Bill Clinton? He said, wait till you're on the air and then give them, you know, the truth, but don't do it in the pre-conversation. And the reason I'm telling this story is I have to admit it crossed my mind when I decided to do this show today, to bring Robert Greenwald on to talk about Fox News. It crossed my mind that if I'm on Fox News's list, doing this show will probably prevent me from ever being a commentator on Fox News. And yet I decided, nope, I have an obligation to tell the truth, and so I decided to do the show and tell this story. But the fact that even me, and I'm someone who is, you know, very much in the Kerry camp, that I would consider not doing this show because Fox News could give, you know, my show further widespread knowledge and credibility, it just shows the kind of effect that Fox News can have.
Well, I appreciate your candor, and unfortunately, that's what they do. Again, think about it, though. Here's a so-called news channel that's blacklisting people for their opinion. Howard Dean, who's been a big fan of Outfox, introduced it, quotes it, went on Hannity and said to him, you've got to see this movie. Howard Dean has never been invited back on Fox News since he did that. Bernie Sanders, in the movie, took on Fox News, never been invited back. Bill O'Reilly, like the coward and bully that he is, goes around saying I'm a smear merchant, goes around making up statistics about the film, refuses to debate me. It's all part of their cowardly pattern, and that's what they are and continue to be until we all bring them down.
Well, I'm sure you do point out wherever you go, Robert Greenwald, that O'Reilly refuses to debate you. I hope you bring that up a lot, because it's exactly – O'Reilly claims he'll take on anyone. But in fact, when he's not on his own show, where he can turn down people's mics, when he's at, you know, being broadcast on C-SPAN with Al Franken or someone else, he turns out when he can't control your mic, he does become a bully and he does take over. And again, my story is a very small one. I don't mean to say that I'm so important. I'm not. But it just gives an example. And of course, Robert Greenwald has given two better examples of how people, even liberals, are afraid to criticize Fox because, after all, there's only three main news channels. And if you're barred from Fox News, it's hard to get your word out.
Well, in Australia right now, where Outfox is opening in the movie theaters, two newspapers owned by the News Corp will not run ads for the movie that's opening in the movie theater. I mean, that's so outrageous. It's mind-boggling.
I wonder if – now, is that true in the United States or only in Australia?
Only in Australia so far, which is where Murdoch comes from, and we've been led to believe that he told the newspapers not to take it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I just wonder if someone could be sued in the United States for failing to allow, you know, ads of all stripes. I don't know.
We've asked them to look into it to see what the obligation is to shareholders, you know, that they're turning away good money.
Let me read some more from the blog. A lot of people are emailing in. We've got the comment, what about the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, case against the term fair and balanced? My understanding of that case is that was Fox suing Al Franken for saying fair and balanced, and of course they lost that case because you're allowed to do satire. Is there another case? Maybe I just don't know about it. Is there another case against...
Well, yeah, alternate.org is and you can go to Alternate to help support them. They're undertaking a case not to allow Fox to copyright the words fair and balanced. There's no FCC thing pending, but Fox in their ultimate chutzpah wanted to copyright those words. And Don Hazen and the great folks at Alternet are fighting it. So I encourage you to go to alternet.org, and they will help you figure out how you can help them.
Okay. James writes in, by the way, and wants you to know that he didn't make copies of your DVD. He just showed his DVD to lots of people.
But I'm telling him and I'm telling everyone, they can make copies.
Wow. Again, that's highly unusual. James also writes, again with Michael Powell, he was appointed by Clinton. I don't think so, James. I'll double-check it. But I'm virtually 100% sure he was appointed by George Bush. I think you're wrong about that.
Yeah.
Okay, and Robert agrees. So, James, if you think he was appointed by Clinton, post it to the blog, show me. I really think you're wrong about that, with all due respect. Let me go on to another comment that I have. And this is... this is by Fred, again, in New York City. And he's saying that international news is really the way to go. That if we look at BBC, if we look at other international news, they give us a fair, if you will, fair and balanced sense that's even beyond CNN and some of the other sources we have. Do you agree with that?
I do in general. I think that that they do a better job of it, and certainly CNN International gave us different news than CNN Domestic. It was wild, and the BBC was a good source of information.
Well, what are some of the differences between CNN International and CNN Domestic?
Well, they gave just a more overview. They gave a more balanced view. They gave diversity of opinions. They gave news that CNN Domestic wasn't covering. It was pretty wild.
We have to go to commercial break. Here's your last chance to call in. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Here's your chance to talk with someone who really is making a difference, Robert Greenwald, the producer and director of the film Outfoxed. We'll be right back with the conclusion of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Governor Jeb Bush is out to make his state of Florida the next Florida. In 2000, Jeb used such crude political tactics as illegally purging voter lists to help engineer his brother's 537-vote victory in that election. And now, here he goes again. As one peer of Florida's GOP establishment candidly puts it, a Democrat can't win a statewide election in Florida without a high turnout of African Americans. It's no secret that the name of the game for Republicans is to restrain that turnout as much as possible. The Orlando League of Voters can attest to that. This African American civic group has played a big role in turning Orlando from a Republican stronghold into a city that increasingly votes Democratic. Their reward for getting involved in the democratic process is to have Jeb Bush's state police suddenly come knock, knock, knocking on the doors of some 50 of the league's grassroots leaders. These leaders, mostly elderly black women, find it frightening to be confronted in their homes by armed troopers interrogating them about their electoral participation. They're not charged with any crime. Instead, police say they're investigating vague allegations that some voter fraud might have occurred in this spring's mayoral election. Yet Jeb's own state police honcho wrote in a May letter that, quote, there was no basis to support the allegations, and he declared this matter closed. But it has not closed. Police now say the chief's letter was poorly worded. And the intimidating in-home interrogations continued this summer as the presidential election heated up. Jeb's police action is creating a blanket of fear among the league's volunteers who worry that their perfectly legal efforts will land them in jail. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course Jeb says that there's no political motive involved, but when asked how long the Orlando investigation will go on, police say it might continue right through November 2nd.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first six payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And I think the government would not like you to know how much Fox News is controlling what's said on the air, making sure that people are not being fair and balanced, if you will. My guest is Robert Greenwald. He's the director and the producer of Outfoxed, which explores in detail a documentary. Really, it gives a lot of clips. If there is ever any doubt in your mind about Fox News, once you watch that documentary, it's kind of hard to dispute it. If you want to call in, all you have to do is dial toll-free 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Mr. Greenwald, has Fox News done anything to dispute what you say, to come debate you or respond to you in any way?
They've called names, which is the traditional Fox approach. You know, it's character assassination. O'Reilly said, "I'm a smear merchant," and they said several of the people who were in the movie were, you know, one was a co-producer instead of an executive producer. I mean, very, very silly stuff, but they've never responded to the substance of what we're talking about, which is the ideological and political instruction and guidance that they're given. And that's the debate that we should be having, rather than their kind of silly character assassination, or not so silly. In the movie, there's a whole section about where they go after Richard Clark, who, after all, was a hawk, you know, somebody you'd think they would agree with, who served in Bush 1's administration. But the minute he was critical of this administration, they turned on him with a venom and fury. You'd think he was, you know, a card-carrying liberal from date of birth. But that's what they do. That's why it's a political partisan operation, not a news operation.
How about other channels? Are they afraid to feature you in your movie? Have you been on CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC? Will they talk about you in your movie, or are they also afraid of Fox News?
Well, it was interesting. When we announced the film, we had a press conference in New York and had three former employees from Fox News there, and the press conference was jammed with people. And Fox News was giving out this little mimeograph statement saying, "We warn any other news organization that they better be careful not to give this too much coverage," something like that. We've gotten some coverage on CNN, but none on the networks. Now, I don't know whether it's really that the networks believe it's not an important enough story, or they are concerned about attacking a competitor, or they are concerned about Fox coming after them. I don't think we'll ever know. But what I do know is we've done a big step, which is with a bully, you go after them. You make fun of them. You pull the cloth of secrecy away. You say the emperor has no clothes. And I think that we've begun that, and I hope that it will continue. David Brock is doing wonderful work on his group, Media That Matters, and Peter Hart at FAIR, and Bob McChesney and John Nichols at the Free Media. You know, there's lots of groups working in media and the film. And if you go to the website outfox.org, you can find all these groups and get involved and keep this going. It's not about a film. It's about creating the change.
Actually, one of my listeners writes with regard to FAIR that he thinks FAIR is a good organization and he donates to them, but worries that their progressive slant might hurt their credibility. Would we be better off with an independent organization with a more objective look at the media?
Well, again, this is, you know, right wing never worries about this.
Yeah.
Liberals always worried with this, with that. Look, when FAIR does a study, it is a study. You can't discount the study. They measure guests. They do objective criteria. Yes, they have a progressive point of view, and they look at the media in a certain way. But again, I think it's important that we support them and we fight for what they say rather than retreat. Look at Sinclair. Perfect example.
Let me go to the phones. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine and Robert Greenwald. Caller? Yes, it's you.
I had a quick question. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. What's your first name? Where are you
from? This is Rod from New York.
Hey, Rod.
I wanted to find out, you know, I actually saw your film in the theaters, very impressed with it. I bought a copy of it from the Virgin Megastore right here on Union Square. Happy to see it right out in full view. And I brought it down to Florida to actually try to get my girlfriend's family to see it. And, of course, there was just no broaching the subject of even taking a look at it. What do you think is the most effective way to, if all else fails, fool people into watching it?
Well, depending on who they are, you can tell them it's porno and put it on. you know, I don't know. I think that, I mean, we've had great luck with both Outfoxed and Uncovered, the movie about the war, because I use a lot of independents and Republicans in that one. And what I suggest with Outfoxed is to say, hey, look, here's a bunch of clips from Fox, and somebody took 6 months to look at it, and, you know, see what you think. See if you agree. See if you disagree. It's a sort of to try to engage them and say, let's look at it and talk about it afterwards. I want to know your opinion.
Rod, I'd also suggest that telling whoever doesn't want to listen to it, look, a lot of the people in this film are ex-Fox News people. This isn't
right.
Being told just by strangers looking at Fox News. This is Fox News themselves calling the parent company various things.
I think they'll look at that and they'll say they're disgruntled employees. I think maybe I should just take the cover and put it in a Finding Nemo box.
You know what you could do? You could turn it on, you know, and start it going, and then just turn on the channel, you know, channel 3, so they think it's actually being played on some station and say, hey, come look at this, and don't let them know it's a videotape, you know? Hey, come look at this show that's playing on some channel, whatever, and come look at this and make them think it's actually being broadcast. I guess that's what I do.
I wonder if there's a way to actually rig it so they think it's Fox.
Yeah, that's it.
That would be tricky.
Yeah.
That would be hard to do. But, you know, after all, a lot of it plays Fox.
That's
so.
Right. I just take, you know, the clip. I'll freeze frame it on the clip.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, it's so hard to get people whose minds are closed. One of the things I like to – that's why on this show – I know you know this, Rod, because you're a regular listener. That's why every Tuesday I bring on Republicans, because I'm not afraid of the other side at all. If Bill O'Reilly wanted to come on my show, he'd be more than welcome. It'd be great. Sean Hannity, any of them, I'm not afraid of them because I can argue, out-argue their ideas, or at least give a strong, solid point. It's the very fact that they're afraid of us should tell you something. The very fact that George Bush gives so few press conferences and makes everyone sign a loyalty oath to attend his campaign events, or the fact that he's so surprised when anyone in the debates actually asks him a tough question because he's not used to being asked tough questions. It seems to me, if you're ever in any doubt, and this is, I guess, what I tell your girlfriend and her family, that if you really believe in your position, whole heart, then you should not only not be afraid of someone who disagrees with you, you should welcome it as an opportunity to hone what you believe, to argue what you believe.
That's how we think.
Well, you know, I don't understand how – and listen, tomorrow I'm having another Election Tuesday, and you can ask my conservative guest. But I don't understand how someone can say, I firmly believe this position, I'm absolutely sure of it, and I'm so sure of it that I won't even hear an opposing view. I mean, it seems to me, compare that to someone that says, like I do, hey, yeah, I'm pretty sure I believe what I believe, but I'm always willing to hear another side. And if James, which he just pointed out that Michael Powell was appointed by Clinton back in 97, but was made chairman by Bush of the FCC, okay, all right, I didn't know that. You know, if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. But these guys, it's like George Bush. He's never made mistakes. The people at Fox News will never say that they're wrong or they're unfair or they're biased. And the fact that they won't allow opposing points of view, to me, that's the clearest sign that someone is wrong, is someone who's not willing to entertain someone who disagrees with them.
Well, I tend to think that most viewers, loyal viewers of Fox, have been fed soft food so long that they haven't cut their teeth on anything. They don't know how to sink their teeth into a story.
There's a reason why Limbaugh listeners call themselves ditto heads.
Ditto heads.
Because when you say ditto, you're not showing any independent thought whatsoever. You're just saying, I agree. There's nothing simpler than to say, I agree. Tell me what to think. And maybe people, you know, life's complex. They're busy. They're raising families. They're trying to do their jobs. They want to be told what to think. And you know, frankly, that would really work very well under Stalin, right? If they want to live in a dictatorship where, you know, they can just worship their fearless leader and never challenge him. And there are plenty of countries they can live in. But I happen to think that's pretty un-American, that if you are not willing to challenge your president of whatever party, then I'm going to actually call you un-American, because I think there's nothing more American than to stand up and disagree with what your government stands for.
I wonder how many adored Stalin when a family member was sent to the gulag.
Well, not so many, but they were sent there as well. Hey, Rod, thanks very much for your call.
Thanks
I appreciate
it.
Robert, let me just ask you as we close here, what are some of the things? Obviously, I want people to see your film. Tell me ways people can get your film.
They can... The easiest way is to go to atfox.org, our website, and that way we, you know, get the money to help make more of these. The other possibility is you can get it on Amazon, and the other is you can get it in some video stores.
I know it's in some local movie theaters. I saw it in a movie theater here in Washington, D.C., I'm proud to say. I don't know how many other theaters across the country are showing it. But you could probably just go to, you know, Movie Phone or something like that and see if it's playing. In New York City, I'm sure it's playing somewhere.
Yep.
Let me ask you one last question. We only got a few minutes left. When Fox was going around telling CNN and all the broadcast media not to broadcast what you were saying, Mr. Greenwald, what were they threatening to do? I mean, what were they saying? Don't do it or else? What was their threat?
It was worded in a kind of, you know, strange way, but basically saying they were sort of making themselves the judges of what was appropriate coverage and not. And it was in this little mimeograph sheet they gave out, which I thought was sweet irony. Here I was with this little inexpensive film, and here was Fox News with its millions of dollars and thousands of employees running around giving out little mimeograph sheets, because we completely caught them off guard with the movie, and they were surprised, and they're not used to being on the defense. And again, to me, it was a great lesson that, you know, we know we have the truth on our side. We have to do the hard work. We have to get the films out there. And, you know, I'm thrilled of the work that you're doing and your listeners, and I enlist them all as distributors. I don't have 20th Century Fox. I don't have Paramount Studios. But if every listener gets a copy and shows it to three or four people, and then makes a few copies and gives them away, we'll spread the word and we'll win.
Now, how is it that someone like Michael Moore could get Fahrenheit 9/11 at a pretty broad release, and you weren't? I mean, what does he have?
Well,
just the name?
You know, different films, different times. They had a wonderful amount of publicity. I thought it was a great movie. I'm thrilled for Michael. I think it helped open the door for other documentaries. And I just look at it as a different situation. But again, rather than be helpless about it, I think there's a lot we can do. And we're seeing hundreds of thousands of these copies bought and sold over the Internet, spread by word of mouth, people talking to other people, doing house parties, taking them to church, showing them at a bowling alley, bringing them to school, giving them to a library. And there's so many possibilities. It's very exciting.
Last question. Somebody watches your movie, as I've done, is as outraged as I am, wants to do something about it. What can the individual citizen do?
Well, what they can do is they can go to the website, outfox.org, and they will see a list of 7 or 8 or 10 different organizations working to change media, organizations that work in Washington, D.C., putting pressure there, organizations that work locally, and organizations that sign you up to do media monitoring. You watch these stations, you write letters, you make phone calls. Change is not made by a huge majority. Change is made by a group who are committed and dedicated and willing to work hard. And if you have 5 minutes a week or 5 hours a week, I telling you, you can really make a difference. Get involved, and you'll enjoy it.
Mr. Greenwald, thank you very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, and thanks for your good work.
Thank you. Okay. Well, another thing, of course, you can do is you can turn out to vote 3 weeks from now, and you can help the Kerry campaign turn out others to vote. There's nothing that's going to be more important at this point than getting people out to vote, and particularly if you live in a swing state, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, Missouri, Arkansas, any of these states, or really any state. I'm always afraid. You know, the polls show that Kerry is way ahead in New York and California and all that, but if people get complacent and they don't vote, that's not enough. If you want to be able to change the whole way media consolidation is going, for example, you got to elect a Democrat as president, and you got to elect a Democratic Congress. And we have a chance to do that. Get out and vote. Tell your friends to get out and vote. The rest of this week, tomorrow, of course, is Election Tuesday, where I debate the Republicans. My guest will be Tom Robbins, the state chair of the